We give you praise. We give you praise. In Jesus' name. You can have your seats. I want to talk about your involvement to the progress of God's work. Are you with me? Your involvement. Let's look at John chapter 4 from verse 3. He left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now, Jacob's well was there. Jesus, being weary with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Praise the Lord. Now, you're following the story, right? Verse 7. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. Now, this is Jesus leaving a city to another. And by reason of the routes they were going through, he needed to pass through Samaria. And the path he must follow had a city in Samaria called Sychar. And we read that Jesus got tired and hungry. It was a long walk. And so he sat on one of the wells at the city of Sychar. And this was about the sixth hour, which was noon, probably around 12. Then there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. Hello? Well, let's read the story and we'll understand what happens after that. Verse 8. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? Hello? Is that you're a Jew? I'm a Samaritan. He says, how then do you dare to ask me, a foreigner, for drink? And you see why. For the Jews have no dealings with what? Are you seeing that? Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink. Read along what the next part he said. Thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Now that lets you know that Jesus started a conversation, not because he was in need of water, but because he had something to offer the lady that had come. Number one, he was tired. Where he was resting, he saw it as opportunity to affect a life. They had no dealings. They were two different people. But Jesus knew that he had something to offer. J- John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not what? But what? So how many of you believe in him? How many of you have received everlasting life? Okay. First John chapter 5. He said, this is the record, for God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son, Jesus Christ. He that had the Son had it life, and he that had it not has not that life. So, we have that life. Jesus also said, the Bible said, in that great day of the feast, he stood out there and cried out. He said, they saw them moving around. They were like sheep without shepherd. He said, scattered abroad. And he stood out and cried out with a loud voice, come unto me, O ye that labor and are heavy laden. One of the versions says, burdened with so many problems. He said, and I'll give you rest. Take of me my yoke, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. He said, drink of me. He said, for as it is written, he that drinketh of this water, I say, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And then the Bible said, this spake he of the Holy Ghost, which they were to receive. Hello? And now we have received the Holy Ghost. We are the source of this living water. Jesus said the way you ought to say. If you knew who was talking to you, you will ask him and he will give you living water. Talking about the anointing, the Holy Ghost. The question is, do you know you carry something? Jesus was before a stranger in a strange city. He was going through. But he cared about the person who had come around and knew that lady needed to be attended to. Who are you attending to for this weekend? That's the question. You see, you can never be too busy to affect lives. There's a message, Christianity, the life of value. I think that was last month's Workers Week in Port Harcourt. I spoke on that. And I'll share with them in the church there some very important truths. Every one of us must listen to that message. Because when we talk about soul winning, the first thing that comes to your mind is work. Or you see, the reason why God hasn't allowed you to die yet is because it's giving you opportunity to determine the kind of life you will live in eternity. And that's the essence of that message. All the work, all the money will end here. But the value and your positioning in eternity is what you do with the people around you and your Christian faith. You see, I was talking to the pastors today in the ministerial college this morning, and I said, when you understand what is ahead of man, the future of man, and you understand what God expects you to do, I said, you only come to understand one thing, that everything you have now is to prepare you for where you're going. And that's reality. Just like men of the world will say, how you lay your bed is what? How you lie on it. The same way with spiritual values. The Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. Proverbs 11:30. He said, the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. Now, how many of us know about networking businesses? You know, GNLD, TNC, they're all networking business. You buy, you register people, you start getting benefits. It is not from anywhere they got it. It's the Bible. God was the first to introduce that. He said the fruit of the righteous man is a tree of life. It's just like networking. You affect one person. Every person the person is affecting is going to your name. That's what God is saying. Then he says, he that winneth the soul is wise. Because you understand that if I make this man stand, everybody this man makes stand comes to my reward. If I have 10 million people saved by me directly, those 10 million people, as long as they keep winning souls, the crown I'm getting at the end of the day as the first man keeps multiplying. And then the Bible says in Daniel chapter 12, it says, and those that turn many to righteousness, not few, many to righteousness, is that they shall shine as the stars. Is that they will shine as the stars of the firmament. What does it mean? When we are before the Lord, that is the kind of offices you will get by your soul winning. And in that message, I think I did well to explain, you know, when we think, oh, heaven, 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 we only have served in heaven and we're back to a new heaven and a new earth. And guess what's going to happen then? Jerusalem is going to be the headquarters. I explained some of those things in that message. You're going to any part of the world at that time, it's not going to be by how much you have. Because there will be no limitation to movement. Hello? You're going and access. It's just like if you live around the Asian continent, places like China, Korea, where if you're a citizen of this state, you can't just travel into another state because you are born within the same country. You need your visa. You travel like, it's not like when you go from Nigeria, you can wake up and just travel the way you like. But in Chinese suburbs, you don't do that. I mean, they can throw you behind bars. You have to come with identity. They will identify you like a foreigner. As long as you're not born there. Even with all you got a qualification, you can't go into another part of the country. Hello? And just think you secure any kind of job. There is a job that is for foreigners. That's what the new heaven and earth is going to be. Your ticket is the value you contributed while you're here. It's not because you have all the money. It's your recognition. He said, he that endures to the end, I will give a name. He said, he that wins to the end, I will give a stone. Talking about those who have turned men to righteousness. He said, I will give him a stone. He said, on that stone will be your identity. He said, only you will know and I that gave it to you. That is your recognition. Everywhere you go, when they see, they know that. It is a pass. It becomes your pass to any path. Otherwise, you can't even disobey because there's no room for such. Praise the Lord. So all this, your every other thing but soul winning, you're not helping yourself. And I ask the question, having been average all your life, you will spend eternity where there is no recovery of time. Still average? You couldn't go to the best places of the world while you're on earth. You'll not be in that time. You can't be everywhere again. Only to find out that you put yourself there. No. I don't want to be such a person. But the only way not to be such a person is what you're doing now. That's the gospel truth. And so this is what many Christians don't know. They don't even know where we're going to or how it's going to look like. So they think it's just heaven, sweet by and by, suffer here, enjoy later. No. Everything is coming together to make the world you're preparing for. God is always giving you the opportunity to determine your future. Hello? That's why I say, he that winneth souls, not a soul, souls, is wise. Because you're doing it with understanding. You know, he's a wise man because he knows what exactly he's doing. Like we have a program. Some of you are waiting till we say we need money to do this. It's a bad attitude. That is where your money should go. Listen to me. Listen to me. Look at me. You know, he that sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap what? Corruption. A lot of Christians don't understand why. They think it's just about tithing, offering. They don't understand why some things did go wrong. Where does your money go the most? You see, Christians, if you check what they spend on feeding, hello, in a month, their whole offering in a year is not up to what they spend in a month for feeding. Then the person is wondering why I'm a tither and yet I'm sick. Jesus said, do not put your money where moth and cankerworms can make it decay. Some of them have fat accounts. Very fat ones. And then you look into the kingdom of God where Jesus said, put your money in such an account. It's zero. And they are wondering why they suffer bankruptcy. Praise the Lord. You know what God told Moses? He said, tell them they should ask whatever they want. And they left with all the gold and all the silver and everything. When they got on their journey, God told Moses, he said, tell them all the gold that they receive and all the silver, they should bring it to build my house. So that's why I gave them all the while. And you know something? Not everybody obeyed anyway. The Bible says, as many as were wise-hearted. The ones who were what? Wise-hearted. And who were moved by the Lord. Gave. Willingly and joyfully. And there was excess. They began to give willfully. Did they get blessed? Yes. They gave everything. And every country they entered into. They didn't stay there, but they had more. How was it coming? That was what God wanted to do. He said he gives you ability to make wealth that you may what? Establish his covenant. Are you getting what I'm saying? At the end of every payment month or business month, you should see your profit. 60% of it should go to the kingdom of God. At least. Then watch your life. You know, one of those days, late at Bishop Benson D'Aosa, he was the richest in the whole of Africa as a pastor. And they were wondering what was the secret. And Bishop, Archbishop said one day, I was listening to one of his messages, he said there was a time in his life while he was telling himself he would never be poor and reading, traveling abroad to learn on that great minister. And he said, I heard the Lord say, he said, do you remember when he says, give shall be given to you, good measure, praise and shaken together, running over, overflowing, shall men give unto you? He said, yes. He said, do you believe in the overflowing blessings? He said, Lord, what are you talking about? He said, you want to stay there? He said, yes. He said, then let's go into this. Give me 70% and take 30. He said, listen to me. He said, I've been on 30 for how many years? And this is the 30 you are seeing. He said, this is the 30% you're seeing. That is, what people are shouting, he's rich, is 30%. And he said, I'm living, I have so much that I can't even touch. I'm living in the overflow. He has not gotten to the cup. The cup is still full. The thing keeps pouring. He said, I'm 30%. Bishop Ediko was sharing one time, the first time I ever heard him say that. He said, many years ago, God told him, I need an offering from you. What is it? He said, your salary for life. That's the last time the man was paid. They pay him, it goes as offering. That is the man you are seeing today. That's why Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then he says, and all the things which the world is craving for. He didn't say you ask for it. You see, when you understand these things, now let's say that there's one reality that must enter into you in this church. That everything you ever want to be in God, God gave you the opportunity to decide it. That's what he did. Are you here? Verse 11. The woman said unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Hello? Now, she didn't get the message. Jesus didn't say water, he said living water. You know, it was funny. The woman was looking at the well. And here Jesus was without a fetching bucket. The woman had come with hers, a fetching bowl, and her bucket to go with water. And here was a man who was sitting down there with nothing and said, hey, if you know who it is, you tell him to give you. And then she looks at the man and said, this guy, I thought the Jew was actually stupid, but now you're doubly stupid. Hello? That's what she was trying to prove. It's like, where are you going to get the water? As far as I'm concerned, you got no bucket. Fetching pail. Jesus answered, verse 13, said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall what? Thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him. Where? In him. I'm not dealing with bringing you to an external source. I'm making you the source. That's what Jesus was saying. He said, the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. At this time, he had struck the woman. Now, that was a city well. And when you understand something about city well, or just like your parents back then when they lived in the villages, you don't see somebody going to the stream alone. They go in groups. When you read Genesis, you see the same well. Something about such wells. The cattle keepers and sheep, they come to fetch from the well. And that was where Moses met Zipporah. Such an encounter. That was how Eliezer found the wife, Isaac. They came in groups. But here comes a woman alone. Under the sun, alone. And Jesus engages her. And the lady is distracted and Jesus brings another way to talk to her. But study something. Jesus was communicating the gospel to her with what was her concern. He didn't bring up the discussion from something outside what was her concern. Sometimes you're there, you want to preach, somebody's busy after something, you engage the person in such a discussion. Are you getting what I'm saying? In the area of concern. Many times people would even tell you, please, I'm busy right now, because you came to distract them. You can stay within their communication zone and get their attention. That's what Jesus did. Hello? That's what he did. You want to preach to a girl, and you look at her face. I mean, there's so much makeup there. You can literally look at her appearance and tell that this one is a fashion freak. What do you do? Wow! I mean, you get a person by your first expression. Wow! You look so angelic. I love your makeup. I love your outfit. Thank you. What's on my mind? This is a guy that's come to toast. Say, you know something? You're just the best of God's creation I've seen today. I mean, that makes it very polite. Praise the Lord. People like comments. Even those who pretend the most like it. Don't you like it? Praise the Lord. Someone said, what is good for the goose is good for the gander. Praise the Lord. Okay. Let's see the woman's response now. The woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. You know what she's looking for? She's tired of coming to this place. Hello? That's what Jesus must have spotted in her. The attitude with which she was coming to the well. Hello? The attitude was what caused the discussion. He spotted it quickly and took advantage of it. Now see what happens. Jesus, now she's eager to get water. She wants to draw. Let's see what Jesus did next. Verse 16. Read one to go. Jesus said unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. Now he's going deep into her. He was going for her soul, but he needed to get her attention first. Now see her response. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands. Five. And he whom thou now hast. Hello? Now, it didn't say whom you are with. The one you now have. That is this one now. There's a bobo she has colobid. You understand? She's not a mistress. She has one that she gives instruction that say, yes, my mistress. Hello? So Jesus did not say the one you're with. This one is with you. He does everything for you. You own him. That's what Jesus is saying. This one, you know that this is your property. He said, he whom thou hast is not thy husband. And in that, saidest thou truly. In other words, when you say I have no husband, you are telling the truth. I mean, that was direct word of knowledge. Jesus had hit her there. Pow! And see what she does. In rebound. Praise the Lord. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. You know what why she said that? She didn't want any further communication to expose her. So, all those word of knowledge doesn't really, really change people. Hello? Especially when it's not the promising one, when it's the exposing one. They don't like to hear it. Immediately she reacted. I perceive you're a prophet. See what she did. The next verse. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. Is what she's doing. She's changed the whole topic entirely. Our fathers worship in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. You say you're a prophet. This mountain where we are, Samaria, was where Abraham, everybody came to worship. Why then do you people teach the Jews to go worship in Jerusalem? I mean, she has changed the whole discussion. She doesn't want any further going in. Hello? You know, sometimes you're trying to get people's attention, and when you think you're just getting in, that's when you are thinking, man, it's time to finalize and invite this person and say, let's pray. That's when the person changes the topic on you. It's not time to give up. Be wise. It's a sign that you're gaining deep. Instead of feeling frustrated, get in some more. See what Jesus did. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me. You want to talk about this? I have more to say about that. Believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither... Oh, thank you, Jesus. This is that hour we're in. He said, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. And he was right. He was not trying to tell her that where you are worshiping wrongly. That's not where he was heading to. He wanted to get her attention some more. Look at the next verse. But the hour cometh, and now is. Read with me once ago. When the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. And God is the Spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Read the next thing. The woman said unto him, I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he's come, he will tell of all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speaketh unto thee am he. You know, the Muslims said Jesus never said he was his Messiah. He said it. It's written here. Say, I am. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Hello? That means her appearance must be something, and then she's a Samaritan. So they were amazed, Jesus talking to this kind of woman. Hello? Now you don't expect a woman who has married 5 men and keeping another one to be ugly. I hope you know that 5 different men were willing to take turns, and the 6th one came in on the turn. Praise the Lord. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? In other words, they couldn't confront her nor confront him. The woman then left her water pot, and this is where I'm heading to. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city. And said to the men, come see a man. Where did she go? Right into the city. Now, by all oriental description of that woman's lifestyle, the historians put it that she was supposed to be an outcast. That is, by the lifestyle she has, she's not an accepted person amongst them. But now she has met with Jesus. And something changed about her. And she goes right into the city to the same people she should hide from. The question is, have you met Jesus here? Has the Jesus who preached here really touched you? Or you're still ashamed? She went right into the city. And said, come see a man, verse 29, which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Verse 30. You know what she said? Why is she doing this? I've met the man. I think everybody has to see it as well. I think I've met someone that brought change. I'm going to do it. Everybody must see through me. That's what she was after. And that's the right way Christians should relate. If you belong to a house and the word of God has affected you, by the third time, people should be coming with you. That's a sign that you believe in what is happening there. The joy and the enthusiasm with you to tell about the place and pull people in is a sign. If you're not doing it, it means you don't believe in where you are. There are two things that prove your conviction in a church: the quality of your giving and your soul winning. Because the Bible says, where a man's treasure is, that's where his heart will be. So we can tell where your heart is by your money. And we can tell where your love is by how much you can sacrifice to be in that place. So who really is a life changer? This weekend we show it. That's the truth. No man. Someone say, Pastor, it's not like I don't want to invite, but I'm ashamed. Ashamed? Who is ever ashamed of what you are proud of? Your shame only exists when something that you have is not something you can boast about. Is this a church or a pastor you cannot boast about? That's a question. That's a question. You know, I asked a question many years ago to some friends that worked with me. I said, we're just starting. We don't have members. Nothing, nothing. But you guys say you believe this. I said, now imagine if all your friends in school talked about their pastors. And one of them talked about Archbishop Benson Dowser. The other talked about Bishop Edipo. The other talked about Pastor Chris and all of them. I said, what will you talk about? Will you be bold to talk about your pastor? Because when you mention the name, they might be asking, who's that pastor? Which church is that? Praise the Lord. It shows. I know what your answer will be. It's not whether you say yes or no. How many people in your street, in your office, have heard of your church? He that is faithful in little is faithful in much. How many people have passed by you several times and you felt ashamed to stand before them? If you are ashamed for yourself, are you still ashamed of where they're bringing them to? And remember what Jesus said. If you're ashamed and deny me in public, he said, remember that on that day too, I'll do the same to you. Some people don't understand that many times when the Holy Ghost prompts you to speak and you don't speak, you're actually proving that you're ashamed of Him. And one day you will pay for that day. That's what Jesus was saying. What do I know to say? He said, open your mouth. My Father will put the right words at that time. He said, don't wonder what to say. When they bring you before counselors and all those, he said, don't think of what to say. He said, at that time, the right words will flow. My Father will put it. Hello? Now look at this. Look at this. Elisha was in Samaria. And here the king of Syria had a general, Naaman, the Assyrian. He was a general. God had used him to conquer many parts of their enemies. And one of the days, he took as captive to himself for his wife a gift. And that gift was a Samaritan lady, a young girl. And he had a girl in the house. By reason of service, the woman was nice to the girl. And while she was walking by her madam or mistress, she was opportune to see what no man ever saw, because outside the man was always on gloves. And she experienced and witnessed this man had leprosy as white as snow. And over time, He begins to eat the body and the parts just start shortening. That was the boss in his life. It was something of shame. And the young girl looked at her mistress and said, I would to God that my master would listen and go see my man of God in Samaria. He said, if he does it, he will be cured, I guarantee you. The man said, what are you talking about? He said, Ma, we have a prophet there. You dare it and see if it does not work. And you know what the Bible said was told Naaman? Like a joke, the slave girl got a king to approve a general's traveling to an enemy's camp with a letter to their king. I'm told that there is a prophet in your country. And you know that you people are subject to my kingship. So now I have sent my general, treat him well, and ensure that your prophet heals him, and we will treat you well if that happens. When the king saw it, he became afraid. He said, what offense have I committed? What offense? How does this man want me to heal his general? Is it not another war this guy is looking for? And the Bible said the news got to Elisha and he said, hey, relax. Tell him to come. He said, we will show him. Oh, Lambrodogo Sheketele Badahaya. Paul said, if we make our boast, we make our boast in the Lord. He said, let that guy come. He said, we'll show him that indeed there is God in Israel. And I love what he did. I tell you, I love what he did. He knew he had authority with God. The guy showed up, came with jewelries and everything, expecting, having come to the defeated camp, this prophet was just going to rush out and bow or say hello. And the prophet wanted to show him that you need what I carry. Now you need me. You know what I told him? He sent his houseboy. A man has traveled from another country with entourage. I mean, the world conqueror. He refused to see him. He sent his boy. And the boy came out and said, you're welcome, all of you. Yes, well, are you Elisha? I said, no, sir. No. I can't be the prophet of God. Well, I have a message from the prophet of God. He said, I should tell you. That this is your problem. He's already aware. That you should go to the river Jordan and dip yourself 7 times. Naked. 7 times. And you'll be healed of your leprosy. Then you can go back. The guy got furious. What does he take himself for? How can I? And he got angry. They said, bros, come. What is it to you? He said, no! Can't he come out? Blah, blah, blah. They say, what is it to you that he came out or not? What is greeting? Who has grown age by greeting? So what is it to you? Whether he comes out or not, if you live here, you will still go with this thing. You want to remain with the sickness? They say, come. You want to die inside? They are my chef. I follow you to the church. God will heal me. He said, you come first. If you don't come, you remain this way. But if you come, you will be healed. I guarantee you. That's what they told him. He said, why not go do what he said? Peradventure, at least before you react, give it a try. And thank God he listened. Went in the first time, second time, by the seventh time, the guy's body became that of a baby. He didn't believe his eyes. He came out rejoicing. Oh, now I can see the prophet. And the prophet still wouldn't come out. He said, just go thank your God and celebrate. Take your things back. We didn't need it. We just wanted to know that there is God in Israel. Hello? And of course, you know the rest of the story. Gehazi inherited what he was not supposed to inherit. because of greed. Hallelujah. I believe in impact. When you teach the people the right thing, leave them at liberty to practice it. Praise the Lord. Life changers will never be made by your money. You are the ones that are made by putting your money in life changers. Because it is the altar that sanctifies the gold. It's not the gold that sanctifies the altar. The ministry is the altar of God. When sacrifices comes on the altar, changes take place. Are you here? Like this program is coming. We have a day. You can plant money and pay for healing so that you never will be sick. I remember there was a time we needed to give for orphanage. I couldn't tell why I was so passionate about it. By the time we were through giving, then the Lord spoke. We were feeding orphans. My final year, for the whole semester, orphanage homes were like, what was the farthest place from here into town? They take at least 3 transports. It was that far from my school. And we had to do it. It was so inconveniencing. I had to plan every day those who would go per day. Whether we had money or not, those children had to eat. When we are true, the only thing God said was, tell everyone who gave that they just paid their ticket out of being orphans themselves. It's because several of them would have lost their fathers. He said, tell them. He said, when they were doing it in obedience, they were paying ahead. Why? Proverbs says, a man's wealth is substitute for his life. Are you still here? He said, then they went out of the city and what? Came unto him. The whole city came to him. Listen, one person's testimony. It was not a statement, it was a passion. Some of you, your colleagues will come to God by your passion. Your neighbors will follow by your passion. How joyful do you rejoice when you talk about your church? Or you're the one saying, nobody, don't go and beg them. When you have life, you know when to give it. The way you are like this now, if you come to my church and hear what I hear, your story will change. Emma was a young boy. He's a graduate right now. We had just started ministry in Oka, and we had the signboard with my face on it. Anyway, it stands out. So, the young man was passing by the place. He was actually looking for where to kill himself. And then he passed by the signboard and something dragged him back. So he looked at the signboard and saw a young face with a smile. And then came back. Life is wicked. Why is this one smiling? I'm going to find out who this person is and why he's smiling. And of course he got in. And so they called me and said, Pastor, there's a young man who's actually killing himself. He's here right now. You need to see him. And so I came. Amazingly, I came smiling to him. So he was wondering. At least with the news I heard, every other person who heard it were panting. And here I came smiling. You want to kill yourself? And I said, life is too good to die. I'd opened the page. The guy was ranting and ranting, and while he was ranting, I was just writing and smiling and looking right into his eyes. Then I said, are you saved? He said, I've been in church. Then I said, are you saved? I told him simply, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I've come to give you life, that you may have it to the full, in abundance. Then I showed him 2 Peter 1, verse 3. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. He says, according as his divine will has given to us all that pertains to life. When he saw it, he said, you mean there is someone who gave? I said, yes. Everything is available. By the time we're through, where he sat down, he was tonguing in the Holy Ghost, shedding tears, sweating. Guess what happened? That same year, the guy revived three friends who wanted to kill themselves. He was passionate about this. Listen, the funny thing was, his situation hadn't changed at that time. Things were hard. But the guy knew he was receiving the message that was changing him from inside. What was their marvel? This guy has stopped thinking like them. The thing hadn't changed. Now guess what? In a space of 2 years, everything in his family had changed. And every one of them knew it was a result of his discovery. Because before you knew, he was talking it everywhere. We're seeing the results. I mean, the guy made up his mind. At another time, he had stayed in church for some time. Then he said to himself, if it is true that the word works here, I'm going to put it to work. He said, from this day, I'll be the one that's fine every Sunday. Until he left, it was so. And I made up my mind for it. That's the kind of Naaman's servant. The whole city came to him. That's what we read. Then the disciples said, Master, eat. He said, No. I have meat to eat that you know not of. Verse 33. Therefore said the disciples one to another, had any man brought him up to eat? Next verse. Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Next verse. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already towards harvest. There are people out there. The churches are not growing because the brethren are not working. How does the gospel move? The closest people around you. The people who admire you from afar. Those people before you greet, they greeted you. Go to them, they will follow you. The sinners out there. Mostly those that are unsaved. Many of them have received condemnation gospel. Go to them and tell them, God is not condemning you. He has received you, that's why he gave his son. Is it to wit, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their sin against them. That is not counting it against them. God is not condemning you. He didn't create hell for you. He loves you, that's why he gave Jesus, and that's why I came to tell you. And I have a message that you follow. All these things you are struggling with, it's possible somebody must have preached to you before, but I came to give you the one that will bring the final bus stop. They will listen. And Mount Campus, I wanted to preach one time. And I heard in my spirit, these guys have already said, not be today. They preached to them severally. So I stood there and said, all of you here, I've come as your final bus stop. Then all of them turned and threw away their secret. That was what God them said. And the final bus stop. Another court guy, nobody could preach to him. And so I looked at him from afar. What is his name? They said his name is Tupac. The guy dressed like late Tupac. He looked like him, everything. So they called him Tupac naturally by his appearance. And was a good rapper too. So when I came to that environment, I've been hearing of him, the terrorist on campus. I knew what Jesus did here. Praise the Lord. And I said I was going to do the same thing. So I sat somewhere and saw his friend that I had preached to. So when that one came around, I said, how are you? He said, fine. It was a social center. I said, you tell Tupac that 3-Pac is calling him. And he better come here now, otherwise. Because I knew the only language the guy understands is the authority. So I sent an authoritative word to him. The moment the guy heard that language, he got so furious. He wanted to see the 3-pack that dirty 2-pack. And when he came, he didn't see somebody like him. I was just like this, in the dark. And all I said was, Tupac, looking right into his eyes. Because I know my eyes carry fire. And it carries love. I looked right into his eyes and said, Tupac, how are you? He didn't know how to respond. And I gave him my hand. Before he knew, I put my hands on his shoulder. Because I knew my hands are anointed. If I put it there, you bow. I said, Tupac, well, I have good news for you. Relax. I said, well, I want to introduce myself now. I sent for you for a reason. I said, you know what? 3-pack is too little to identify with me. I said, I am King Martins, the King of the Most High. The guy was looking at me. And I was looking right into his eyes. And I said, you know what? I sent for you because you're better than 2-pack. I called you to tell you that there's something bigger than you. You're a king. And 2-pack is too little to identify with. He died miserably, but you will live as a king. When I was through talking to him and everything, the guy paced around. And then he said, who really are you? I said, I told you I'm King Martins. He said, all my life, no man ever spoke to me like this. He said, that's why I gave you attention. He said, nobody was bold to look into my eyes. He said, but I was for the first time afraid to look into your eyes. I said, that is what I want to give you tonight. Prayed with him and he ran. Because if they don't come, they'll run. Another one, a cult boy, very big and tall. I was reading somewhere and I heard him talking to his friend, man, we're going to hunt babes tonight. And that provoked me. So yeah, go buy the thing, go buy the, that's weed. And that was when they took light. So I appeared in front of him. And right there and then the Lord told me he just lost somebody precious. And I called him right into his face. Preached to him, laid hands on him. The guy was 6 feet tall. He went poof. I didn't expect it. I mean, that big guy was crying like a baby and his friend came and ran. The next Sunday he showed up. Are you here? The whole city came because of one person. Look at it. Give me the next verse. 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city did what? How did many come in? Through one person. That's your capacity. He says one of you would chase 1,000. Two of you, tens of thousands to flight. Concerning conquering a war, he said you take hold of 100 and two of you 300 down. That's what God sees in each one of the member. 100 souls. And it's very easy. 10 souls a month times 10 months is already 100. You can multiply God's house by 120 in a year. And have all those souls to your crown. It's that simple. 10 souls in a month. We have how many days in a month? 30 days. That's, we have 4 weeks, right? Divided by 10. So in a week, how many souls are you expecting? 2. Keep that 2. Work on another 2. Keep that 2. In a month, you already have your 10. In a year, you have 120 souls. And you will see them inside church. And watch what your life will become. That's what God was saying. You will chase 100. You put them to flight. They'll begin to fly like you. Hallelujah. It says, they believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified. Did you see that? How did they believe? Because of her testimony. He told me all that ever I... It was her testimony that brought them. That is what you should share. If you cannot preach, share your testimony. That's what people are looking for. Is he working? Your testimony is what they need. Leave the preaching. When they come to church, they will hear it and get saved. Share your testimony. Share the ones you have heard in church. And they'll be passionate about it. If you come and stay, you will see results. And then you go back and you pray against that devil of resistance. Devil of distraction. You arrest it. Because some of them want to come, but there are devils that are stopping them. Because the devil knows that this one is my own. If he goes, a lot of people will be changed. Some of those people are catalysts of salvation to many people. Are you getting what I'm saying? When we get to heaven, it's not a popular name that you might see standing out. It's about how you were contributing per time. Are you with me? I was reading a book one time, one of those great ministers. They put up the costliest crusade in America. Nobody turned up in that city. It was the preacher's costliest crusade, the church that did it. That was the costliest crusade at that time. And that was the first time. They've been having turnout. The first time they didn't have turnout at all. Guess the people that showed up. I think it was Billy Graham, if I'm not mistaken. Himself and his friend. In a very big city crusade, only two small boys, teenagers, showed up. Two teenagers. And then they led them to Christ. And felt the crusade failed. For 3 days, only two kids. The young boy, to date, is still the 20th into 21st century highest soul winner as a pastor in crusade. Billy Graham. No preacher has rivaled his salvation meetings. Right from 1960 something to date. The man has lost his voice. He's almost near death. And they start to put something inside him. He's still winning souls even after many of his age have gone. Through his children, he's still winning souls till tomorrow. And the crusade that led him to Christ was a failing one. That guy has brought President of America, Queen of England, all of them to his meetings. And they will shed tears and get saved. Senators of America, saved through his meetings. The man who led him to Christ felt like a failure that day. That's what some of these people you're playing with. You know, I once said, and I'll say it again, the terrorists of our today were people's careless opportunities. Somebody had a chance to preach. Somebody had the opportunity to be sent that said, Lord, why this place? What would have become of Paul if Ananias had told God no? Think about it. The beauty of Christianity is when lives are saved through you. There's a fulfillment you can't explain. You won't know it until you've led somebody to Christ. There's a confidence it gives you that you are saved. I'm telling you. Just like when you lead somebody to Christ filled with the Holy Ghost, my goodness, there is this fire you feel. And that's what I want you to know. The beauty in Christ. I want you to bow your heads and talk to the Lord right now.